Back in my home office. Okay, it's the kitchen table. The timesheets were staring at me. I hated paperwork. One of these days, I'd be able to afford an assistant to take care of such things. For now, I just had to suck it up. I glanced at the clock. I should be able to finish by about 7. Then I could reward myself with some of the pistachio gelato that was calling me from the freezer. 5 minutes into my calculations, the phone rang. I didn't recognize the number, so I answered in my peppy work voice. Pets and people, too. This is Polly. Can I help a pet or a person today?
Actually, I'm calling to help you.
Tyler! Oh, hello. Is this the realtor? The realtor? Why didn't I just say the man's name? Why was I a blithering idiot all of a sudden?
You want what?
Why had she thought that getting magical help would be somehow less difficult than dealing with the church had been? I want anything and everything you carry capable of warding off evil spirits, and I'm prepared to pay. Carolyn laid down $500. But what you give me has to work. I need to see clearly, to not be afraid, to not have anything evil be able to influence or hurt me. It's a matter of life and death. The woman in the Earth Mother garb looked at her oddly, then began pulling boxes down from a cupboard. She took several bags from each box and began packing them in a large bag.
There are many banishing rituals, she said as she worked. Pentacles are said to be able to trap evil spirits, and common remedies like salt and garlic are in a lot of stories.
She turned to Carolyn.
But I can't tell you that it will work. A true talisman to protect you will be most effective if you make it yourself out of things that are important to you.
Dr. Cameron frowned, subdued his natural feelings, and followed in the wake of the detective, who had already stepped across the threshold. The room, or rather the alcove thus entered, was dim, and for a moment he saw nothing but the bed that, together with the wardrobe, took up most of the space before him. But in another instant he had observed the thin streak of light made by the separation of the two heavy curtains that hung between him and the apartment beyond, and walking quickly up to it, he looked through. A pathetic sight greeted him. Kneeling before a fire, whose leaping flames seemed neither to lend warmth to her icy cheek nor comfort to her miserable heart, he saw a woman, whose listless eyes fixed upon a paper that was consuming on the hearth, saw nothing beyond, seemingly in this world or the world to come. But apparent as was her misery, the doctor saw in that first glance but two things, her face and her form. Both were unmistakable. They were those of Genevieve Greatorex.